Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba.
Hi, welcome to episode 57 of Lean 911, Mark DeLuzio. Today, this is episode 57. I want to talk about my favorite lean financial metric, which is free cash flow as a percent of net income. Now, if you're listening to this, it might be a little bit difficult for you to follow on, and I'll try to, you know, do it in such a way where it makes sense. But we probably best if you looked at this on YouTube or Rumble, so you could actually see the video presentation that I'm going to do with the numbers. Whenever you talk about numbers verbally without any kind of visual representation, it's really hard. It's hard anyway with the visual, but I'll try to do my best on this if you're listening in your car or whatever. But you can always go back and take a look at this on YouTube or Rumble. I believe we're up on both of those platforms. So let's start. Why do I like this metric? There's a lot of metrics out there that people like to look at. And maybe I'll start by saying this. The real game in business is to drive cash flow. Okay. And by the way, not by cutting heads or anything that you might be thinking that is somewhat nefarious, but the real game is drive cash. Cash is, in fact, what makes a business run. Now, any of you out there who were ever entrepreneurs and had to front your own cash to fund your business, you'll know exactly what I mean. Many people kind of talk about companies' cash like, you know, they never ran a business before, so they don't really understand that the lifeblood of a business is cash. So they may not have a problem buying that extra inventory, or they may have a problem, yeah, let's buy that extra piece of capital. That'll be a kind of nice $200,000 toy that we could play with. It'd be a lot of fun because it's not my money. So most people who don't know what it is to run their own business and manage cash flow won't really resonate as much as those of us who have. So back in my finance classes way back when, I learned at least a theoretical definition that said your stock price is the present value of all your future cash flows. Now, I know that's theoretical. I know a lot of things impact your stock price, but that's one way to think about why I think cash is important. And without cash, I can't reinvest in the business. Or if I do reinvest, I've got to either get extra equity partners by selling more stock, or I need to get debt financing, which is, in a sense, taking out a loan. Well, both of those have drawbacks in terms of the valuation of the company and the valuation of your stock. So ideally, I can generate cash and use that cash for future innovation, future growth of the business. At the end of the day, when you want to talk about employee security, it's not about some leader, you know, coming in with all these promises and you touting respect for people. It's about financial cash flow, and that's the real key, okay? So if you're not tied into that, you're going to have a hard time talking to leaders. Now, I'm going to be doing an episode about how CI people and lean people do not, in a sense, know how to resonate with leadership and connect with them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a whole, what I'm calling Seat at the Table webinar series that you'll all be invited to. It will be posted on LinkedIn. But the Seat at the Table is going to be all about how do we connect with senior leaders. And there's a big delta between how we connect as lean professionals and what leaders are thinking, what's important to them. We just expect them to show up and accept all of our lean theories and notions without ever understanding what they're measured by, what they're compensated by, what drives them, what's important to them. So, a subject for another day, but this discussion today about free cash flow as a percent of net income is in fact part and parcel to that conversation, because it's a means for you to be able to communicate to your leadership with something that would resonate with them. Okay, so I'm going to show a presentation right now, some slides that is going to talk about Danaher's 2024 financial performance. Now, all these numbers are not proprietary. They're public information. So I'm not telling, you know, stories out of school. But on the screen right now, I am showing Danaher's 2024 free cash flow from their operations. Okay. They had $6,688,000,000 of operating cash flow. When you deduct their $1,392,000,000 capital expenditures, you get free cash flow from operations of $5,296,000,000. Okay, so they generated $5,296,000,000 of free cash flow from operations once you deduct capital expenditures. Now, I'm going to talk about that operating cash flow in a minute and what makes it up. However, when you look at their net income, which was $3,899,000,000, that's their net profits. Their free cash flow, they generated more free cash flow than their net income. So as you can see, at a factor of 1.36, they generated 136% free cash flow over their net income of $3,899,000,000. Okay. That number, free cash flow as a percent of net income, and if you're following along on the screen, you'll see I wrote that in green, because anything greater than 1.0 means that you're moving your balance sheet, you're moving your working capital accounts, and you're improving your cash position on your working capital accounts. Okay, so now what is working capital? Go to the next slide. There are three components of working capital: inventory, accounts receivable, and accounts payable. So if I add my inventory and accounts receivable and deduct my accounts payable, that is my total working capital. The lower the number, the better. Now, the slide that I'm showing here has a total working capital that came down from 2023 by $636 million. That $636 million is, in fact, a positive to the free cash flow as a percent of net income equation. So in other words, Danaher had $2.6 million of inventory in 2023. Now they have $2.3 million at the end of 2024. Their accounts receivable went down and their accounts payable stayed about the same. So in total, their working capital came down over $600 million. That is a positive. Okay. When I take inventory down, I am generating cash. A lot of people have a hard time understanding that. When my accounts receivable comes down, I am generating cash in that financial period. And when my accounts payable goes up, I am generating cash in that accounting period. So when you look at these numbers, you got to, you know, take them with a little grain of salt, because they're end of year numbers. A lot of window dressing goes on in these companies to make their balance sheet look better than it really is during the year. But these are the numbers I'm going off of just to get some kind of comparative against the 2023 numbers. Now, if there are games being played in 2023 and 2024, you got to assume that games are being played in both years, right? In terms of, you know, dressing the balance sheet. So that working capital is something that you should be affecting with your lean transformation. Now, Danaher only turned inventory 4.1 times in 2024. And when you get into the seat at the table, I'll tell you how all this math works and how I got that number. If Danaher only improved their inventory turns by one turn, from 4.1 to 5.1, they would have generated another $452 million of free cash flow. Think about it. One inventory turn. That's not that hard to do. And I didn't do two here or three. I mean, I've got modeling that shows all of this. But by improving your inventory turns by one lousy turn, you're generating almost a half a billion dollars of free cash flow. And that takes your free cash flow as a percent of net income from 136% to 147%. It's unbelievable what one turn will do. Now let's talk about capital spending. They spent 5.8% of revenue on CapEx, capital equipment. By the way, that is a very big number. A good lean company should be at the 2% mark and below, okay? But 5.8%. So something's going astray there in their CapEx, because the year before, they were at 4.8%. So I'm sorry, the year before they were about in the 5% range as well. But if they just took that down one percentage point from 5.8% to 4.8%, they generate another $239 million of free cash flow. So that alone would bring them from 1.36 to 1.42 free cash flow as a percent of net income. Now, when I combine both of these, and I didn't do receivables, the impact is a little bit less on receivables, but when you combine inventory and CapEx, again, going from 4.1 to 5.1 inventory turns, and from 5.8% of revenue to 4.8%, you generate almost $700 million more of free cash flow. And that takes your free cash flow as a percent of net income from 136% to 154%. Okay, a lot of mumbo jumbo, a lot of numbers. You're probably listening and you're going crazy because you can't remember what I'm saying. And I know numbers are hard to understand when you're just learning, listening to them without really looking at any kind of presentation. All right, let's forget about the numbers for a minute. And let's talk about your company. Let's talk about, are you positioned to go to your leadership and say, hey, by the way, if we can just improve our inventory by one turn, here's what it means relative to cash flow. If we can improve our accounts payable by X, if we can improve our accounts receivable from 60 days to 55 days, it would generate X million dollars of free cash flow. You have that kind of conversation with your leadership, now you got them listening. You want to go to your leadership and talk about all the soft stuff like respect for people, empowerment, engagement, and all that other stuff that we talk about. And I'm not trying to downplay any of that stuff, okay? I'm just saying that's not how you discuss and broach that subject. You work into that later, but you've got to catch the attention of leadership and talk the language that's meaningful to them. You've got to put yourself in their shoes. How are they getting measured? What are their bosses' expectations? Do you even know? How are they compensated? All right? If you go to them and start talking about things like engagement and respect for people, and again, I'm not trying to downplay, that's very important. They're going to hear, and for some of you younger people, you may not remember this, but Charlie Brown, teacher, when she talked to the class, all you heard was wah, 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 wah. Okay? That's what your leadership's going to do to you if you don't know how to talk their language and talk about what's important. Now, by the way, you should be able to translate lead time reduction into working capital reductions and on-time delivery performance. And market growth, when I reduce my lead time, if my competition's at 8 weeks, and I'm at 12, and I somehow can get down to 4 weeks, 3 weeks, I should be able to take market share, everything else being equal. How do we have that kind of conversation? So I'm going to cover all this kind of stuff when we get into the Seat at the Table workshops, which will be separate from Lean 911. This particular episode, I just wanted to let you know what my favorite lean financial metric is, because not only does it capture profitability in your cash flow, but it captures what you're doing with your working capital account. And again, your working capital being your inventory plus your accounts receivable minus your accounts payable. That's your working capital. And by the way, if you take that working capital number and divide it into your revenue, you've got what we call working capital turns. Okay. So you want those turns to go up. Just like you want inventory turns to go up. All right. All right. I'm going to stop there. Enough math, enough mumbo jumbo. I wanted to just let you know what my favorite metric is. Let me know what yours is. Remember, cash is king. And by the way, when I was the chief financial officer for George Koenigsaker, who worked for Artburn, we were doing some great things at Jake Brake, which in 1987 through 1990 was the heyday of Jake Brake in terms of the changes that we made. It was incredible. It was an unbelievable time to be there. And the learning was incredible. And we basically saved that company. Now, we were also taking inventory down drastically. So when you take inventory down, and I'm not going to go through too much detail here, but you take what's called a fixed overhead absorption hit on your profit and loss statement. So your accounting profits are not going to look good while you're taking inventory down. Again, everything else being equal. So the two Rails brothers, Steve and Mitch, called up George Koenigsaker and said, hey, what's going on at Jake Brake? Your accounting profits don't show all the fanfare that you guys have been talking about with Lean. We want to come in and see what's going on. So they came in, and here I was, a newly minted chief financial officer dealing with these billionaires. And I showed them the cash flow statement. I go, guys, look, these accounting profits that you report to Wall Street, I don't want to say they're BS numbers, but you know, at the end of the day, they have so many things in them that don't matter. Reserves, depreciation expense, which is not a cash charge. And it doesn't really account for the changes in working capital, which at the end of the day is all about cash. Now, these are entrepreneurs and they knew all about cash. I presented them the cash flow statement, explained the difference, showed them that we are doing the right things and we are driving the right metrics. Although for a short period of time, temporarily, it won't show up in the profit and loss statement. They got it. They're smart guys. They said, great. Thank you. We got it. We understand what's going on. Keep doing what you're doing. They did a plant tour, and then they went out and got on their corporate jet and flew away. And that was the end of that story, okay? So cash is king. At the end of the day, cash is king. The problem is that when we don't calibrate our compensation systems to the thing that Lean does best and the things that we want it to do, that's where we run into problems. Okay. So if your financial compensation systems are tied to accounting profits, you're going to have your CFO knocking on your door saying, hey, build inventory. I've seen that movie a million times. Why do they want you to build inventory? Because it's going to capitalize all the production costs in that inventory on the balance sheet and take it off the profit and loss statement. It's a nice big fat credit that shows that you're, falsely shows that you're doing well. Sooner or later, that inventory has to come out of the balance sheet, out of your inventory, either as cost of sales, usually sold at a discounted rate, or obsolescence. You have to write it off because you produce too much that you can't sell anymore. So if your compensation systems are calibrated on accounting profits, and your Lean is really all about driving free cash flow, you're going to have a problem with your CFO. This is where the CFOs don't get cost accounting. They don't get what this all means relative to lean behaviors. And when I developed the lean accounting, the first lean accounting process in the US, I believe, in 1989, I got rid of all that crap. I got rid of all those absorption variances and purchase price variances that drove the wrong behavior. We got rid of standard cost. Standard cost variance analysis drove the wrong behavior. We always argued that the standard was bad, not a performance was bad. Okay. And we went to actual costs and actual charges of overhead right to the value stream and right to the cell and right to the product. Okay, so this is a big miss, I think, in lean today. And we'll talk a lot more about it when we get to the seat at the table. But these are the things that you have to think about. And if you can somewhat become conversant in these metrics, you'll open yourself up to having a heck of a lot more meaningful dialogue with your leadership team. And maybe, just maybe, they'll start listening to you. Okay? Okay. Episode 57, Mark's favorite financial metric, lean financial metric, free cash flow as a percent of net income. Email me at mark@lean911.com, mark@lean911.com if you have questions or comments. I'd appreciate your thoughts. Until next time, stay lean.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.